It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am pleased to welcome Adani Sanchez, Client Services Coordinator, Community Health Worker, and Get Covered Illinois Navigator with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, known as CCHCC, which is our local powerhouse grassroots advocacy group for access to healthcare for everyone. For almost 50 years, the mission of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers has revolved around the belief that healthcare is a basic human right, and CCHCC is dedicated to working for quality, affordable healthcare for all, including dental care, and for environmental health and justice. And that role has increasing urgency in today's political and healthcare landscape. But what's unique about healthcare consumers, and what I have always appreciated, is how it organizes and educates the community to have a voice in the healthcare system and to affect social change to achieve health justice. So, Adani, I am so pleased to have you here. Thank you very much on a busy weekday. What brought you to healthcare consumers?
I actually started volunteering with the Fifth and Hill Neighborhood Rights Campaign. I was new to the community. My partner moved here for the university and grad school, and I was looking for work and had some free time. I've been civically minded for a little bit, and so I was curious and finding some ways to volunteer. And Fifth and Hill really met at the intersection of healthcare policy, local activism, and environmentalism. So kind of a lot of my favorite areas of interest. And so that seemed like a great place to spend some time and put some energy. And through that organization, I met Claudia Lenhoff, the director of Healthcare Consumers. And it happened that they were looking at right around 2013 when the ACA was really starting to open up the marketplaces. And so they were going to need some help talking to consumers directly and helping people enroll in the marketplaces. And so they were able to get some funding for that and hire some people to work at Francis Nelson specifically. So I started out at Francis Nelson as an enrollment, exclusively an enrollment.
And I did that for a while too. And it was very exciting when healthcare opened up to so many people. But let's back up for a minute and just describe what actually the Fifth and Hill initiative was about, because that really encapsulates a lot of what healthcare consumers is so good at.
The Fifth and Hill Neighborhood Rights Campaign was the organizing movement to basically bring attention to this toxic site in a marginalized neighborhood. Think about that. I mean, I guess it's kind of a little ongoing, but a lot of movement has been made. They did some work in that neighborhood to try to clean up a lot of that area. And there are still issues ongoing, but a lot of that work was because neighborhood residents were really upset and had to communicate in really big ways with the city of Champaign about this site has some toxicity. There's stuff here. You need to come take a look at this. We need to get the water tested. There needs to be some accountability for what's left over on this. It's an old manufactured gas plant site that was left over, and they really didn't do any remediation on it when it first was abandoned, and then it was bought by Ameren. And so now it was kind of like, well, whose responsibility is it to do remediation for this site now that it's under different ownership? And so there had to be a lot of conversations between the neighborhood residents and Ameren and the city of Champaign. And so there were a lot of different policy points to take in mind, and also a lot of like knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, have you had any kind of weird experience? Do you have funny smells in your basement? Have you seen the water turn weird colors when it's running down the street? So things like that. So it really kind of encapsulated a lot of different issues where there had to be some kind of way to capture what was going on, because the city wasn't actually, didn't think that anything was going on. And so they kind of had to
And
be
people were getting
notified.
sick, weren't they?
People were getting sick. There were a lot of instances of very rare cancers in the neighborhood, traditionally, historically Black neighborhood, North End. So it was pretty bad. And residents had to say, there's something going on here and you need to take a look at it.
Now you are client services coordinator. And so what does that involve?
So that involves doing the same stuff, doing the enrollment work, but also kind of overseeing additional programs like hospital financial assistance, applying for hospital financial assistance, trying to keep up with my resource guides and making sure that that information is up to date. I help with a lot of our data information and set up those systems so that we are capturing the information for grant reporting. So a lot more grant reporting, kind of bird's eye view things, making sure that all of my teammates know new policy changes and that we're going over them and talking through any policy changes, especially as administrations change. Some of this healthcare policy stuff is changing. And so we want to make sure that we're giving our consumers the best and most accurate information.
Give us a few specifics so people get a sense of what on the ground CCHCC is doing, like policy changes, and who are your consumers, and how do people come to healthcare consumers for help?
My work as a client services coordinator means I oversee the work that we do with enrollment specifically. That's really our biggest thing. So, doing applications for Medicaid, if you are uninsured and you have questions about what you might qualify for, we help people enroll in health insurance benefits as well as SNAP benefits, hospital financial assistance, looking for places that accept their medical card, looking for providers that, so we're having a problem with dental, right? We have a dental discount program that is, overbooked. There's a lot of overwhelming need. So we can't meet everyone's needs with that program, but trying to find and encourage people along the way. So all these meetings that we have, hey, did you know dental is a really big problem in our community? And we're struggling to find dentists that accept Medicaid. We're struggling to find cheap hygiene programs for people. There is the Parkland College Dental Clinic. So letting people know about the services that are available in our community. And so telling people who are looking for those services what is available and how to access it, as well as letting public health, letting state officials know we're having this need. This is coming up. This is coming up. We're seeing this, and letting people know what's going on the ground so that we can make moves to try to address some of these issues that are coming up.
And over the years, healthcare consumers has created active partnerships with providers locally. I know that you meet with Carl regularly and other providers. Healthcare consumers has done some groundbreaking work in forcing hospitals and clinics to do the charity care and the community care that they say that they do, and to make them accountable. How is this ongoing?
I think of it as a circle. So it's really unique to have an organization that does both direct service as well as advocacy. And obviously, the level of intensity of either of those things varies throughout the year. But the idea that we're actually talking to people directly, people call in who might have questions about, I just lost my health insurance through my job. What options are available to me? And then as we talk to them, we find out maybe you're eligible for Medicaid, maybe you're eligible for the health insurance marketplace. There might be financial assistance available for you. And then as people use their health insurance, then they might encounter a problem that, oh, this is not how this is supposed to work, actually. And then we can bring that because we are in partnership with these hospitals, because we are in communication with representatives. We're letting them know, hey, there's a barrier here. We bring this up in conversations with public health as well. Hey, we're seeing a barrier here. Have you seen this in other places? Is this one a mistake, or is this what is it, a feature, not a bug, right? Are we seeing this because it was a mistake because one person at the front line didn't understand this policy? Or is this happening over and over again? Is this a systemic problem that needs to be addressed from administrative levels? And so having that direct contact with consumers and helping them through using health insurance or accessing benefits like the community benefit. So if folks sign up for hospital financial assistance and are told at a certain department that that's not accepted there, they can come back to us and we can kind of investigate, like, okay, our understanding of this policy was X, Y, and Z. Why is this consumer facing this situation? And kind of getting explanations, getting understanding, and sometimes correcting mistakes. Because sometimes it is just a mistake, right? It's just a mistake. Someone didn't have the policy straight. And so they just need to be kind of reminded of how it's supposed to work. Works
And these
together.
healthcare providers listen when you call because they know that healthcare consumers has the clout and the connections to really follow through. And you've done legislative advocacy too.
The big one that because I personally was involved in, we had some legislation come up about Medicaid provider directories. I'd had a client who had gone to a provider that was listed, turned out not to be in network, and had severe health issues as a result because of the struggle with realizing that that provider was not in network, faced higher bills after a health complication because that directory wasn't correct. And so I actually had to go to Springfield and give testimony about that experience that that client had had and say, like, this could have led to even worse outcomes because of the stress of, like, oh no, now I can't go back. He didn't want to go back to that provider because he'd gotten this horrible bill. He didn't even want to continue care. And so the struggle, kind of testifying to the struggle of trying to go back to healthcare after the shock of getting these really high bills, after being deceived by a provider directory that was incorrect. And then the health insurance company is saying, oh, you should have just read our mind that that was a mistake. And so, kind of pushing back against that and the stress that that caused could have led to even worse outcomes. The regular advocacy that we do is very much like sending out emails, making people aware of legislation that's coming up that will hurt their benefits and hurt their health outcomes. So last year's budget bill was a really big issue. We sent out several emails. We talked about them at community meetings and trying to let people know what a bad idea cutting a lot of these services, how that might lead to really bad outcomes. So we're seeing the consequences of those budget bills and trying to let people know that keep an eye out for these things. That's what the SNAP stuff is about, right? Just talking about letting people know this is a bad idea and then also having to deal with the bad ideas as they get implemented.
What are you focusing on with SNAP?
We're trying to let people know to keep an eye out in their mailboxes. The Department of Human Services has told us that they are trying to preemptively exempt people that they already know are exempt from work requirements. So they are trying to kind of do some work in advance to make sure that people aren't taken by surprise. They're notifying people. If you have not been notified that you are required or are not required to complete work requirements, then you need to make sure that your address is correct. So trying to make sure that people don't miscommunication. That's the primary thing. So making sure your address is correct with the Department of Human Services. So if you've moved in the last couple of years, making sure that they have your address, making sure that you're getting your paperwork, that they have the right phone number for you. Those are the big things because the expectation is now that people will be having to prove that they are doing 80 hours a month of either actual work where they're receiving wages or volunteering or other some kind of community engagement. So you're going to have to prove that every month. Otherwise, you're going to lose out on your benefits and people are going to be terminated. So there are exemptions available for people who are taking care of children under a certain age. If people are younger than 18, they are not subject to work requirements. If they're older than 64, they're not subject. If you are physically unable or mentally unable to work, that's an exemption. If you're currently on unemployment, if you're in school at least half time, people who are pregnant, people who are taking care of children under 14 or part of a household where there are children under 14, if you're a main caretaker of someone who is under 6 years old, you're a primary caregiver, but you may not be a parent, right? You might be in charge of somebody who's under six that lives outside of your home. That's an exemption. Someone who is primarily taking care of someone who is disabled or incapacitated, anyone who is Alaska Native, American Indian, California Indian, American Urban Indian, someone who's participating in any kind of drug treatment or alcohol rehabilitation program. So if you're involved in some kind of programming, you can get an exemption. So we're trying to tell people to get an exemption if they are eligible for one, because the work requirements are a monthly paperwork task. And if you do not make that monthly paperwork assignment, they are going to count that month against you. And if you get 3 months where you have, or if you've not proved that you completed your 80 hours of community engagement, whether that's work or volunteering, your benefits will get terminated and you will not be able to reapply for 2 years. So, very serious consequences.
How have the work requirements for SNAP changed recently?
The state of Illinois was able to apply to not implement them. Other states do have them, but the state of Illinois was able to avoid them and had things in place to facilitate. The work requirements now apply to more people, so they have increased the ages that it applies for. So now it goes all the way up to 64. It used to go to like 55, and now it's gone all the way up to 64, so that more senior people and younger people, right? So the range of the ages has now expanded to more younger people and then more older people. And then they're also removing some of the exemptions that had been put in place for folks like veterans. They took away many categorical exemptions and then pushed the 3 month time limit to be implemented directly, instead of kind of being like, well, at the last resort, if you haven't done certain things in this many months, then you're terminated and you can't apply again. That was usually after other situations had not been met, versus immediately now, like as of February 1st, they are counting the months that you go without submitting information.
And that's a terrific burden to have to put together this paperwork, how to prove that you're taking care of a disabled relative. You'd have to get, I suppose, doctor's certificates and all kinds of things.
We're encouraging folks to, even if they don't immediately have that kind of documentation, not to wait. If it goes by a month and we haven't submitted that information, that's a strike against your case. So we're encouraging people, maybe you don't have that certificate immediately available. Let's write a letter together and have people sign it, put phone numbers on it. So we're encouraging people to do what they can. We are also asking the state of Illinois or the Department of Human Services for templates of self-employment. They already do have some templates like that. Like that is what we do for self-employment. Folks who don't have formal monthly ledgers, we just fill out a monthly kind of income versus expenses. So having more templates like that where we can submit, this is who I'm caregiving for. Here are the people that I take care of, the under 6-year-olds that I am responsible for in my community, and here's how many hours I work taking care of them. So trying to ask for more templates, and then of course helping people write letters out so that we're just explaining it, so that we're sending in something, because it's better to send in something and maybe they would like additional information. It's okay for them to ask for additional information, but as long as we're sending in something so that that month isn't counted against people. That's what we're just trying to encourage. And again, having people think about, do any of these exemptions, helping screen people for exemptions, because if we can get an exemption, the work requirement does not apply. One of the new services that Champaign County Healthcare Consumers does provide is disability services. The need is so overwhelming that our team is already also overwhelmed by the need, but we do offer that service. There is a waiting list, but because disability and Social Security takes so long, it's very difficult to prove that you're in the process of the disability, even though you have not been determined as having a disability yet. And so that's another situation where we're trying to kind of make sure that all of our clients understand that, like, if you are physically unable to work, we are going to try for that exemption, even if you don't have the formal decision from Social Security. And so having those doctor's notes that indicate that work is not feasible for this person. So again, trying to encourage people to submit whatever we have, whatever is available. And if they don't have something, but they have a situation, trying to explain the situation so that we've got something on the record as saying, I am unable to work for this reason, or I'm unable to volunteer for this reason. We also have walk-in hours every Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. So you can just come on in and we can talk about what's going on, what you have questions about. And then we also have an email address where people can send us emails and that gets to the right person. That's cchcc@ CCHCC hyphen IL dot ORG. And if you email that general email, that'll get to the right people. We just started some hours at the Urbana Free Library every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 11 to 1 p.m. So around lunchtime, we're doing lunch office hours at the Urbana Free Library every second and fourth Tuesday. We have big community meetings for things like Medicare open enrollment. Our SHIP counselor, Nicole Mitchell, does really great work about talking to people again individually about what their options are for Medicare. We can do enrollment in Advantage plans and prescription drug plans, and just talking about evaluating between choosing. So you don't even have to pick something. We're not brokers, so we're not pushing anyone into choosing a specific plan because we get paid for it. We're literally just talking to people about what their needs are, what the options are that are available to them, and then helping people evaluate what's going to be the best fit for them based on what they communicate. Covered Illinois is the name of the Illinois marketplace. That was a really big change in light of federal administrative changes. I was very excited personally that the state of Illinois was going to have some more control over the health insurance marketplace. So that means that there's some more flexibility for things like special enrollment periods. Open enrollment was able to be extended because the state of Illinois had that capability to do that over their own marketplace. So that's our other community meeting, is the Get Covered Illinois open enrollment. That's where people can look at the health insurance marketplace and see if they're eligible for private health insurance with financial assistance depending on their income. This is another income base. So, like Medicaid, which is the public health insurance through the state of Illinois, there are income requirements to get financial assistance. So, 138% of the federal poverty level is the limit to, you have to be below that to qualify for Medicaid. But above that, and up to 400% of the federal poverty level, you might be eligible for financial assistance to buy private health insurance. And that's where Get Covered Illinois comes in. It used to be known as healthcare.gov here in Illinois, but once the state of Illinois became in charge of their own marketplace, they stopped using the website healthcare.gov and created their own website, also called getcoveredillinois.gov. What that would be is for people who are over income for Medicaid, but who are not offered health insurance through their job or who don't have health insurance coverage, they can go there and it's like a store for health insurance. And they make it more affordable by assessing your income and then providing financial assistance. So people are able to find affordable health insurance through the Get Covered Illinois marketplace.
What is the poverty rate? What are the qualifying numbers?
They change every February, and this is across the country. It's only different for like Alaska and Hawaii. So this is across the continental United States. The federal poverty level, so the Medicaid threshold. So to qualify for Medicaid, you have to earn less than $22,025 a year if you're one person. For a family of four, that's $45,540. Below that, your household might qualify for Medicaid. The financial assistance on Get Covered Illinois, if you are one person earning up to $63,840, you might still be eligible for financial assistance on the marketplace. So something to think about for a family of four, that yearly household income is $132,000. And so that's the range for qualifying for a tax. They call it a tax credit. So that's the financial assistance to help pay for a private health insurance plan. If something has changed in your life, like you lost your health insurance, you no longer qualify for Medicaid because you got a new job, things like that, loss of health coverage is a special enrollment period. So even though the general open enrollment period has now ended, people with specific life circumstances can get onto Get Covered Illinois to buy a private health insurance plan. So getting married, being pregnant, adopting a child or having a child, gaining a dependent through foster care, child support, a household change like a death, moving into Illinois or moving out of Illinois, you might check with your state that you're moving to make sure that you might not qualify, or double check to see if you qualify for a special enrollment period to buy insurance there if you're not offered it through somewhere else. If your immigration status changes and you are now a new immigration level status. That's a special enrollment period. Released from jail, changes to your income might be special enrollment periods. Not every income change is a special enrollment period, but shifting from you used to be eligible for Medicaid, but now you're over income for Medicaid, that's going to be an income change that would cause you to lose your health insurance coverage, so you would be able to sign up for a special enrollment period on Get Covered. And if people have any questions, they can call us and we can talk through what the changes are that happened. So feel free to give us a call at 217-352-6533 and let's talk about if you might be eligible for a special enrollment period. There is a new one that's called the Tax Time Easy Enrollment. If you are filing your taxes and you do not list that you are insured, you will get information about signing up for a special enrollment period through Get Covered. And so that's something, again, that can only happen in Illinois because the state is now in charge of their own marketplace. So that's a special enrollment period that happens automatically for someone. But if you have any questions about using it, you can give us a call and we can talk through it together. That's going to be another one that's going to be automatic, but you're going to have to take advantage of it to get the benefit. So if you see something in your taxes about special enrollment period, you can always call us to verify, but it's real. You can get into the health insurance marketplace. That's a real special enrollment period. So we're hoping that people are paying attention to the information they're getting from Get Covered Illinois.
One of the unusual things about healthcare consumers is that people can come and get individual counseling and advice from you. People who are overwhelmed with how to satisfy the requirements for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of that. It's quite impressive that the state of Illinois has stepped in to really counterbalance a number of these federal changes that have greatly restricted access to benefits.
We're trying to talk about it a lot more. We've got a lot of swag. We've got tote bags. We're trying to put the logo out there so people know that this is real and that there's an opportunity here for accessing health insurance. And it's really tragic that with budget cuts and losing the enhanced premium tax credits, a lot of people's health insurance did get more expensive. And unfortunately, that happened in the first year that Illinois had their own health insurance marketplace. So I'm sure it didn't feel like Illinois was helping out, but I promise that it is a really big difference to have the state that's interested right now, at least the state administration right now is interested in maintaining these benefits and maintaining access to this. So having them be the lead and in charge of the marketplace is really key.
Well, Adani, we are running out of time, and I am so grateful to you for this very useful information. And also, just knowing that Champaign County Healthcare Consumers is there. That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. With my thanks to Adani Sanchez, Client Services Coordinator and more with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, for her time, her dedication, and her service to the community. I encourage our listeners to go to the website at www.healthcareconsumers.org to appreciate the full range of services CCHCC offers, from immediate healthcare needs to environmental concerns, housing for fragile communities, and far more. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeaddamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.